Welcome to another episode of The Suspendables with funny man Jungle Jim Jerome and retired NHL star Russ Cortinel. Each week they unleash their raw, stripped-down, unfiltered opinions on all things hockey and maybe other stuff too. Who knows? Inside stories, absolutely. Outrage, guaranteed. Offside, for sure. And always plenty of laughs. Strap in. The Suspendables is coming at you right now.
Mic technique. What is it? Why does he even tell us that, Russ? We don't know mic technique. Stay close to the mic. Stay close to your telephone or iPad, whatever you're listening to. It's another episode of The Suspendables with me, Jungle Jim Jerome, and Snappin' Beers, Rusty Cortinel. You're on to a new one. We never got shit out of White Claw, Rusty, for what you did for them.
Okay, I know.
You took them over the top. I've been busy. Yeah. I've been busy this week, Rusty. I'm looking into opening a driving school.
Yeah. What's it going to be called? Hit and run?
I got my feet under me. As much as we laugh, lucky to be alive. So I was all sort of mixed up all week with just this sort of weird feeling, Russ, of going, oh, my God, am I ever lucky? And then other times, boy, oh, boy, are you ever stupid? You know, kind of these mixed up feelings. But anyway, I got it behind me. And off I go.
You must feel better because of the great insurance coverage you had.
Yeah, I'll tell you about it. I'm going into the insurance game. Strike nine. Yeah.
Can I? No. Can I? No. Can you? No. Can I? No.
Yeah. I phoned them. Okay. How about this one, Russ? So the truck's a write-off. It's totaled. Yeah. I go up to the impound lot where it is. And it's toast. Call a salvage company, so they pick it up and tow it out for nothing, and they give you, I forget what the guy gave me, $700 or something, right, for this truck. So phone the insurance, Russ. Okay, I have to pay some impound fees, right? The truck was, so do I have to file a claim for that, or do you guys cover that? No, yeah, we don't cover that. Okay. The ambulance, I just got a bill. For the ambulance, I've got insurance there. Do I send that bill to you guys or no, you don't need to do that because we don't cover that. Okay. What about any of the physio and stuff? Okay. So surely I get some, no. We don't cover that. What do you fucking cover? Okay. What? You sure have no problem, Rusty, cashing that check every month, for the insurance.
Boom.
It kept going to the, that was your fault. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Your fault. Eh? So
do you get any money from the insurance company for your car that is no longer
zero, right?
No way.
Saying, okay. What about my car? You guys going to buy it then or from me or do I get? No, yeah, you had no collision, right? It was an old truck.
So you didn't have collision insurance?
No, because it's so old, right? Oh, it's a 17-year-old truck, and
What did you insure?
Well, thank God, the liability, of course, right? You got the million-dollar liability. So, anyway, the lesson for today: if you're thinking about phoning your insurance company, stop right now. You don't need to. Just talk to me, and the answer is. No, we don't cover that. Okay. That's what the deal is there. So anyway,
brought to you by Ditech.
We might have an insurance company lined up for us. There might be insurance company going, Jim, if you went with us, maybe I'm with a shitty insurance company, Russ, who knows? It's a buddy of mine who does it part-time out of his garage. And I thought I'd help him out.
Yeah. No shit. He's now got a fridge in his garage. Yeah.
The other one that's kind of interesting, Rusty, is my airbags didn't go off.
Oh, sue the manufacturer.
Yeah. The other one is, do you cover the, I don't even know why I'm asking this, do you cover the, speaking of the suspendables, Russ, my license may be in jeopardy for careless driving.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because it was my fault.
Oh, that sucks. You're sober and you can drive.
Well, and it's as bad as a DUI ticket. A careless driving one. So I was talking to a lawyer going, is this a criminal offense? What am I in trouble? Blah, blah, blah. He goes, oh, yeah, I don't know. But We don't cover that. No, I'm kidding. and I said, the airbags didn't go off, you know? And my truck was recalled a few years ago to fix the airbags. So I said, sure, maybe, I don't know. Should I look into this? Is there some liability? And the answer is there's no liability. This guy's a traffic lawyer, traffic accident lawyer. He says it happens all the time that airbags don't go off. Depends on what sensor you hit and all this stuff. And the answer is no, you're not. They're not going to be liable for airbags not going off. So no, it's separated shoulder. No surgery.
No car, no money.
No.
Anybody who's feeling sorry for Jim, please send in a Alberta bus pass.
Yeah, a Go Car Me fund or whatever.
Prepaid
it is.
Bus pass. Does the bus come near your hood?
No, absolutely. I mean, it's perfect. Funny you say that. I've been walking around looking at the bus stops. So anyway, on we go. Onward, upward. Second round done, of course. Third round, it should be going on, but no. Yeah. Western Conference finale, toast, Oilers, four straight, Colorado, overpowering, Rusty.
What did I say?
The goalie. Yeah, give us your take, Russ, on what you thought happened.
I said the goalie was, you know, is a big question mark. And the secondary scoring, the Avs are so good. I mean, they're just so freaking good. And the Oilers, you know, made a big step forward by at least getting there. But
right.
They've got to fill some holes still.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, they probably will. Holland's a great GM and he'll add, fix whatever they need. But I think it's a good step. I listened to Connor last night on his interview and he said that it was good for their team. But, you know, of course, at the time, you never want to lose. And you're one round away from going to the final. But
right.
They got a little taste. And the Avs have been on the doorstep for a few years now, and maybe it's their time. But they sure look good, boy. Oof. I mean, what a hockey game. How exciting a game was that?
Well, Dan, Oilers go up 3-1. Looks like they're going to grab a little win here, a split at home.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's not in the bank here, but yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Is Connor McDavid and Drysdale, those guys, Russ, it's kind of like talking about Tiger and golf, right? It was like, really? Again, Connor. Was he coached properly, Russ? Is there much coaching to do with the guy or just
no, I
you,
think
when
he,
you're when you're ready, Connor, just nod and take whoever you want and get out there?
I agree with Rick Tocchet. I watched on TNT down here and he said they weren't using enough players. You can't win with two lines, you know, and he was comparing the Avs, how they were using their players compared to the Oilers. And Drysdale in the first period played half the period, 10 minutes. And he goes, it's just, you're not going to win that way.
Too tiring, Russ. Like you can't, why can't you go with the two big lines?
Well, you need your whole lineup in the playoffs. You can't go all the way to the finals with two lines.
Right.
And so you need everybody, you need all four lines going and the minutes obviously vary. It's not equal, but the guys need to play and be in the game. And if you don't play, you're not in the game. You know, you play a guy a minute or two, frick, his legs are frozen solid. I mean, he's going to be useless. So you as a coach, take him out of the game.
Right.
And penalties had a lot to do with it. I mean, Edmonton had a lot of power play time and stuff, but you got to have everybody rolling. You need those secondary forwards to help out and take some heat off the big boys. And they just, I guess they weren't confident with the players they had, or they don't have the right players. I don't know, but the Avs were using everybody and, you know, their stars are just like Edmonton stars are phenomenal.
Right. They're building these rinks now, Rusty. Rogers Place is no exception. One of the things that came to the fore here is these unbelievable gathering areas outside of these arenas.
Oh, fuck, they're awesome.
Calgary had it, Edmonton had it, Toronto, right, I think they call it Jurassic
New Park. New York's in Central Park.
Is that where they did it? Is that what's going on there?
Yeah, Central Park.
It's the best. It's absolutely the best.
You should see, Colorado, the rink was full and downtown was nuts. because my son lives downtown. He goes, it's they have a bar there. I think it's called the Viewing Bar. It is so cool. They got a little grassy knoll. It's like a, you know, kind of like a, it's on a angle so you can sit on it. And the huge TVs outside. So everybody's down there partying for every game they put on. But during the playoffs, obviously, it's crazy.
I heard Colorado's just like an unbelievable, beautiful city to live in.
Denver is, yeah.
Or Denver, yeah. You know, it's like, it's kind of like spring all the time, someone told me, you know? Like the winters are always like spring. What was it like in your day, Rusty? That's what I want to ask you. Do you remember some of those playoff games? And us in Canada didn't even know what tailgating was until a few years ago. You know, it was a big American thing.
Mm-hmm.
Were they kicking the doors down, Rusty, back in those days, the fans? Or
I mean, they when we were on the road, they were all in the bars, you know, watching all the young people go to the bars to watch the game. And I would say it would be more like more of that atmosphere. I don't remember anybody. I mean, they could have been tailgating, but I doubt it because it was, you know, short-lived in the spring. Could, you know, not tailgating in the wintertime, but
that's a little fresh.
But the bars were definitely cranking.
Yeah.
You can relate to that. Where'd you go watch the games in Edmonton when the boys were on the road?
Yeah.
You must went to Barry T's.
I think it was a bar. Yeah. those are great days. The biggest, I'm trying to think of the biggest Stanley Cup party I went to. And when I get asked that, I say this. The night they win is a big party. And then there was, I'd go with about 34 consecutive nights in a row were good parties. Yeah. You know, just like from here to some guy's house, from here to the bar, from here to a strip joint, from here to.
I know my brother won in 88 in Edmonton. He wasn't a big drinker and he was driving the guys around in his van, in one of those souped up vans. And he got out of there after like three or four days. He goes, these guys are nuts.
Yeah.
I can't take it anymore. And I'm barely drinking.
Yeah. It's good. Like some of the stories are just like, here we go. What happened here? You know, these dressed up people, but some of these fans are brought to tears, you know?
Yeah.
When they're like, you don't understand, dude, you know? I've been a Winnipeg Jets fan since fucking day one, you know, like what it would ever mean for us to, you know, to ever win a cup or something like that.
I saw the reaction people had when we brought the Stanley Cup to Victoria. My brother and I and the Patrick family helped build this monument in Victoria where the 1929 Victoria Cougars won the Stanley Cup. I think it was 29. It's 25 or 29.
Right.
And we built this monument, but a fan brought us the idea. It was all his idea and we gave him the money to do it. And it was phenomenal. And I got Bettman. I asked Mr. Bettman if we could have the Stanley Cup. He said, what are you doing? Told him the story. And he goes, and it was during the Stanley Cup finals, I believe. Mm-hmm. And he sent the cup out to Victoria. And Jeff, he said, Jeff hasn't had the cup for a day after he won it in 88 because they really didn't do it back then. So he can have the cup all day. You guys can do whatever you want.
Cool.
And so we did a bunch of fundraisers and stuff. And it was a long freaking day. And a lot of beers and fun and pictures and stuff. But I was amazed at the reaction of people. We were driving with it in our car. And people could see it, you know, in the front seat or whatever seat it was in. And they were like, is that's it? That's the cup? That's the cup? And they're freaking out.
Right.
And then I had it in my front yard. Jeff and I were neighbors. And I had it in my front yard while I showered and changed to go to our next deal. And people, there were almost car accidents out in front of our house on Beach Drive because people were, they flipped out over this thing. It's like a movie star. It's unreal what it does to people.
Yeah,
and of course, brought me to tears.
Right,
because I didn't win it.
I equate it to for me. I mean, we watched hockey growing up, but I'm not. I wasn't a hockey player, right? I only played till I was 13. I was good, but my old man put his foot down because my four brothers and sisters were ski racers.
Humble brag like, there, but I was good.
No, I was really good. I was a good right winger.
Oh, now you're really good.
I was such a good, I don't know if I said that, I was such a
you
good
You went
player,
from good Russ, to really good in like 2 seconds.
So my dad said, no, you're ski racing. Yeah. I'm not driving all over the map.
Even though you're really good.
So I was a golfer. So when you talk about what the Stanley Cup means, or you see people just brought to their knees, you know, about this thing, I equate it to the day I walked on Augusta.
Oh, boy.
You know, as a golfer.
Did you take your camera on that course too?
I thought I would have heard from him. You know, he was in town.
Yeah.
He was in town. I sent him pictures of the accident for the pathetic. Yeah. Are you going to say hi to me? Are you going to say hi to me?
No response, right?
Stiffed.
Crickets.
Wow. The 1924-25 Victoria Cougars were the second BC
team. What year was it?
1924.
24-25, right?
Right. Something like Victoria that, Cougars were the second BC team to capture the Stanley Cup a decade after the Vancouver Millionaires won the first. The Cougars were also, I can't believe I'm remembering all this. Kidding, I'm reading.
Yeah, right.
The Cougars were also the last non-NHL team to win the Cup and remain the last BC team to have won.
You know, the Patricks, Lester Patrick, they owned the team. And they played on the Cougars, and then they moved it to Detroit, which ended up becoming the Red Wings.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
A little more here. During the 24-25 regular season, the Cougars, formerly known as the Aristocrats, mm-hmm. and you love this stuff, Russ, I know you do, finished third in Western Canada, in the Western Canada Hockey League regular season standings behind the Calgary Tigers and the Saskatoon Sheiks.
No That's way. A hell of a
name. Sheiks. Naming your team after a condom. in the postseason playoffs, however.
It's a roofing company. It was Shakes. How about this? When the Cougars won the Cup,
yep.
They beat the Montreal Canadiens. And they may have been the – well, could they have been the Maroons back then?
Here it is. Allow me to read it.
Montreal.
Season standings, the Calgary Tigers and the Saskatoon Sheiks. In the postseason playoffs, however, Victoria won its first round series against Saskatoon and its second against Calgary. In the Stanley Cup finals, Victoria faced the National Hockey League's Montreal Canadiens. Three out of the four games were played in Victoria, and one was held at Vancouver's Denman Arena. So there's no home ice.
Yeah. Hey? Well, there was for Victoria.
Yeah.
How about that? The Montreal Canadiens had to take the train all the way out. Oh, what a road trip. Hey, boys, come on, get off the train. We got a game tonight.
Yeah.
And a ferry.
Victoria won the first two games, 5-2 and 3-1, before the Canadiens took game three, 4-2. The Cougars stormed back to capture the 1925 Stanley Cup by defeating the Canadiens 6-1 in game four to take the best of five game series. Anyway, there's a little history of the Stanley Cup. It's Stanley Cup week. What about the suspensions, Russ? What'd you think of, I mean, it's all for naught now because they're done. Evander Kane's hit.
It's unbelievable. The kid just can't. Like, he's playing so good. And then that happened. You know, ends the playoffs with that. And I wonder how Kadri is. Have you heard if he's going to be able to play in the next round?
Don't know. Yeah.
Don't know and you don't care because the Oilers are on the golf course.
Yeah. Well, that's how good Colorado is, right? He's one of their best players. Edmonton?
Huh? Is it snowing?
Because they got to go golfing. I get it.
In Edmonton?
No, it's not snowing. It's fucking June 7th here. It's 10
I know,
degrees,
but it's pissing down rain out on the West Coast and cold.
You'll be fine, okay? You will be fine.
I got the air conditioning on, and I'm not freaking kidding.
I know you're not kidding.
I got the member guest this week.
What hole are we on? Is it a shotgun, or do we?
No, I think it is shotgun.
What hole are we on? We.
What do you mean? Oh, you?
No,
you're not.
I guess. Nazem Kadri underwent thumb surgery Monday and is expected to miss the rest of the postseason.
Oh.
Darren Dreger reported that Kadri hasn't been officially ruled out for the remainder of the playoffs, but it appears that he most likely will be. Ooh. That hurt them.
That does. He's been great for them.
Yeah.
He's been great, but as the boys on the panel, Gretzky, Tocchet, Biz, Anson mm-hmm. Carter, they all said you're going to have injuries in the playoffs. You got to have guys to fill
in. They got backup.
He's, he's going to hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. They got backup.
He's good. I mean, he's had a great playoffs.
Russ, what then? Back up to my Oilers then. What do they got to do in the offseason? You covered some of this, but give me a wrap up and then I'll move along from the Oilers.
I think the biggest question for them is goaltending.
Right.
The kid, you know, Mike, he's had a great career, 41 years old. It's time to get somebody in there you guys need to have a goalie who isn't old enough to have kids on the team. He could have like four kids on the team.
Yeah, he gets in. You can't have a goalie who gets half price at movies, you know?
Yeah. Come with me.
Did he show his age or did he just?
I don't know. He played good. He got him. He played well, and but then there was those mistakes, you know. The goal last night where he tried to shoot it off the boards, hit the ref. I mean, you can say he should have hung on to the puck, or it was just bad luck, but it happened.
Right.
And then boom, it's unforced error that happened to go off the ref, and then boom, it's in the net. And that he was really frustrated because he was mad at the ref. But I don't know. I think he's a good goalie. He's still playing good, but I think for them to win, they need a better goalie.
Right.
They need one of these guys.
They keep talking about being a great puck handler, Russ. It's bitten him in the ass a couple of times, but he's made these incredible passes. He's assisted. I think he's got a couple of assists.
He's like a third defenseman back there.
Is he, Russ, or if you're the coach going, okay, that worked that time, shit off, you know?
But that's the problem with the coach. The coaches are going to be like going, uh-oh, every time he handles the puck, it's like, I hope he doesn't throw it away. Because he snaps it. He passes it like a defenseman. Mm-hmm. But they get picked off, and he's aggressive because he's good. And when you're aggressive, you can get caught. But I think they need to address goaltending. He could probably play another year there, but mm-hmm. I think long term they need a goalie, and they got Hyman, which was great. They got Evander, he was great. But they're gonna have to find those players without spending a shitload of money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, they're gonna hopefully they have some guys in the, in the minors or in juniors. But then when they get up there, they've got to be able to play. You can't have your best players playing all the minutes. You got to share the minutes.
Right. What about the New York series, Russ? Can these guys pull it off? They zipped out in front two straight games. They win the first two. Tampa pulls off game three.
I think Tampa woke up. I think that long... This is where the Avs are going to have to be worried, just worry a little bit about that long delay. They're going to have long break. It's not mm-hmm. great for hockey players. The hockey guys like to keep going. And
they do.
And it just keep your rhythm. So they're going to have to work on that. It's not easy. Mm-hmm. There's not much you can do when you can't play games. And this is where I'm going with it. Tampa looked so... out of sync the first two games, and then they started to come later in the second game, and then they played really well in the third. And they look like they're just going to get stronger. And New York, to me, was looking a little tired, but I don't know if it was just Tampa was playing that much better.
It's always kind of struck me as odd, Russ, that some of the takeaways from an NHL playoff game. And I'm not saying they're wrong. When you said, for example, they're out of sync, it's the same takeaway when I was 13 in the clubhouse and the coach is going, "You guys are all fuck out of sync."
Yeah,
because like it doesn't seem to change very much.
You get in this rhythm, good and bad. We all know, you know, everybody knows you get in these rhythms in life, and especially in sports where things are just clicking. And when they're clicking, it's great. And then all of a sudden, you know, somebody might get sick, and then you're off for a couple of weeks, and then you got to like start again and get back into that rhythm. And it takes a while. And with breaks, these long breaks, you get a little, your body starts to heal, which is which is good for the guys who are really injured, but it's a funny thing. It's like you're in a fight and then when you have a long, long rest, you got to get that, you got to get back in the fight and you got to get
right.
Get your face in there and take some hits and throw some punches. And the same, it's just, hockey's funny. It's, I remember in Dallas, we swept St. Louis and Vancouver went 7 games against Calgary. And they won 3 games in overtime. And everybody's saying, oh, they're going to be tired. They're going to be tired. They freaking just steamrolled over us. We were out of shape. We were out of rhythm. By the time we woke up, we were on the golf course. I mean, they were cut. They were bruised. They were battered. And they were in a war. And we were on the sidelines watching, right. Basically.
One of the great examples, I think, was that when the Oilers were starting to roll and everyone said, watch out for these guys. And they got wiped out by the Islanders. It's a well-documented story about Kevin Lowe's told it, they all have, where they walked by the Islanders' dressing room. They got beat. And all the other guys were out of the shower with their shirt and ties on. And as they walked by the Islander room, there were guys on the freaking floor getting taped up. There were other guys on the trying to
ice bags.
Crutches and, yeah. and cut. And they always talked about that.
Yeah.
I guess that's what you need to win, you know. Before we go, Rusty, there's a great story moving along here quickly and very interesting about pro athletes leaving their league to go to another league. And I'm talking about the PGA.
Yeah.
There's a new tour that Greg Norman's setting up. It's called the Live to LIV. It's Live Tour, they call it. It's been controversial. Phil was the guy who got in all sorts of shit about it. But Greg Norman, through all that, said, no, we're here to stay, man. We are doing this.
Yeah.
By the way, say hello to Prince Amir Ali, who's got $750 billion walking around money.
Yeah.
And we're going to do it. And now players, Rusty, it's building steam.
Mm-hmm.
Let's read a little bit. And the most recent guy to quit the PGA Tour is Dustin Johnson. Quits. This came out 10
Garcia,
hours ago.
Sergio Garcia quit.
Yeah. Allow me to read this. Two-time major winner Dustin Johnson has resigned his PGA Tour membership to participate in the new golf series backed by Saudi Arabia's Sovereign Wealth Fund. The first LIV or first LIV Golf Invitational, which offers $25 million in prize money, is taking place in London. Johnson said on Tuesday he had to think long and hard about leaving the PGA Tour, seemingly ending his hopes of competing in the Ryder Cup. Ultimately, I decided to come and do this. I'm excited about this. Obviously, the Ryder Cup is unbelievable and something that has meant a lot to me. Hopefully, I'll get a chance to do that again, but I don't make the rules. Johnson, whose last victory was in Saudi in 2021, he's 13 in the world, the highest-ranked player in the field. He has held the number one spot in the world longer than any player. I chose what is best for me and my family. Johnson explaining this to me and my family.
Yeah.
explaining his decision. I'm not laughing at him. It's just like the family will be good.
Yeah.
Speaking alongside Johnson, former U.S. Open champ Graham McDowell said he had yet to give up his PGA Tour membership. I don't feel I need to. He said, I don't want to get into a legal situation with the PGA Tour. So one school, Russ, is saying, you greedy bastards. You know, you're not bigger than the game. The PGA has done unbelievable things. You've made a living, the endorsements, the exposure. It's growing exponentially all the time, blah, blah, blah. And the other ones are going, I can go wherever I want. I can go wherever I want to play. And they're obviously doing for money. I heard Dustin's kind of guaranteed $125 million or something ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. Bingo.
To do it. The purses are triple.
Yeah.
A good purse. Steve and I were talking. I think a good purse is like $10 million, $12
million. Wow.
On a PGA event. Some are $7, $8 million. Biggest might be $15. Like if the NHL rusts, like this is the equivalent of them saying, there's no rules, man, and we're going to give you 5 times as much money. If the NHL rusts, if the another league came along and said, okay, here, boys, we got a ton of cash, and there's no salary cap. So you're free to go make your own deal.
Here's where everybody's wrong. And the people who are saying it's greed and it's this and it's that, they don't know what they're talking about, because they're not under contract. They're independent contractors that go to play in tournaments, not guaranteed. They get, you know, the guys who get cut get a little bit of money, but, and then they get paid accordingly on how they divide the purse up. There's no salary. There's no contract.
Right.
In the NHL, a guy signs a 10-year contract. He's not fucking going anywhere. Soccer players get sold by the owners for money. Football players just can't get up and leave. They're under contract. These guys aren't. And this new venture has come out, and the old poor PGA fucking stuffed up SOBs are whining. And these guys are going and they're getting guaranteed money. Who doesn't want guaranteed money? I mean, these guys aren't guaranteed anything unless they play great. And yeah, they make a lot of money through sponsorship, but name the thousands and thousands of great golfers that can't make a living. And they're freaking, you know, working at a pro shop, you know.
Great point.
You know
point.
What I mean? Like, no, if they're contract, under right. contract with the PGA, I would be on the complainer's side. But when I heard Lee Westbrook say that, he goes, I'm an independent contractor. Lee, or Westwood, whatever. You can see how much I follow it. But he was bang on. So,
yeah, what did he say again? He had a great quote.
He said, I'm an independent contractor. And I'm not guaranteed. I don't know what he, but I, you know, they're not guaranteed money. And so these guys, you know, they're on TV. We see them, but there are so many great golfers. If you've golfed at a golf course and you play with somebody, there's a guy in Victoria. He wins the freaking Canadian amateur, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 times. And he's never had a sniff.
Yeah.
So anyways, I don't mind them. And I think it's great. Look, another league starts up. Why is the PGA so worried about this? Like, freaking let these guys go. Let them go. And you know what's gonna happen? If enough guys leave, they're gonna have to go. Oh well, you can still come back and play. You know, it's too important for the fans. We need the best players in the world playing here. I mean, I don't know.
Well, Lee Westwood, when Phil said this is, you know, these guys shoot people for gay marriages, all this social injustice shit. And Lee Westwood went, wait a minute here. How come you're talking about that now? Because there's a new tour. Where were you? Like F1's been in Dubai, you know, soccer, all these other events. But I don't want to talk about it unless I know what I'm talking about.
Well, and meanwhile, we all drive our cars with Saudi oil running through freaking our cars.
Right. Good point, Rusty. I agree with it now. You know, the other thing too, Rusty, you bring up is what a lot of people don't, if you're saying, well, that's unfair to the PGA. The PGA is out to make cash.
Yeah.
You know, they did that FedEx deal purely for money, right?
Yeah.
That FedEx threw a bunch of cash at them and they said, okay, we'll come up with something here. Thanks for the $300 million or whatever they get. I don't know what.
Well, if their top 20 players left right now for that league, their stance would totally change.
Totally.
Because
people, I think they should merge.
Well, whatever, they can make it happen. Look at the NFL; they tried it. What was it? They had two leagues. The WHA, they came into the NHL basically. You know, those six teams. Was it Hartford, Edmonton,
Calgary, Atlanta? Maybe
Atlanta. Anyways, there was some WHA teams that came into the NHL.
I can give you the teams. The teams that came in were. The Hartford Whalers, the Winnipeg Jets, the Edmonton Oilers, Quebec Nordiques.
4. So we've had leagues try to compete against others, and then they join forces.
Lee Westwood said, you know, don't take golf down for playing over, you know, in an era where there's social injustice, okay, and that golf should be shamed about this. He's like, Formula One races there. Newcastle are owned by people from there. There's been boxing from there, snooker, darts, all this other stuff. So Lee's saying, take it easy on the golf industry, you know, about what they're doing. So
I always like a little, I like a little controversy. So I think it's great that these,
not you,
you know, these guys, you know, oh, can't do that. Can't do that. I remember when Victoria Golf Club, they wouldn't let you drink out of a beer out of a bottle. At my golf club in Victoria for years, you couldn't, you had to pour it.
Oh, good call. There'll be no drinking beer out of a bowl.
You got to be a gentleman.
You're begging me to do my impression of whoever the president was.
Yeah, no, he was
the Sarge? No, what was he?
He was the men's captain.
The colonel. The colonel?
Major.
The major. Yes, it was the fucking major.
What a great man. But when they changed that rule, I mean, you couldn't, like, guys were just flooding into the 19th hole to have a beer out of the bottle. And then another big change at Victoria Golf Club was when you could wear jeans into the grill upstairs.
And yeah, that's
food and beverage went crazy.
Friday nights, the women are coming.
Yeah. Oh, it was awesome. But, you know, change, it just takes it, these changes take some time, and it always gets met with people who don't like change. The PGA does not. They like what they have. There's so many people involved that like it the way it is, and they don't want to be pushed off the top step. And they're getting challenged by a lot of money, and they haven't had this before. Nobody's had the deep pockets. And now the guys can go over there and make a hell of a lot of money and a lot more money. So, hey.
That's life. That's fucking life. Yeah.
Can't shame them. From all the hard work that they've put in since they were kids, like little kids, the dedication. These people that hit the top of their professional sport and make all this money, I say, you know what? They deserve it and give it to them. Look at Tom Cruise, Top Gun movie. Making hundreds and hundreds of millions. Like, does he need any more money? No, he doesn't, but he freaking deserves it because his movie is the best.
Right
now, it's going freaking nuts.
Right.
So
you see it?
You can't hate the people that have success because of the work they have.
Did you go see it?
No, I have not, but everybody around me has. My wife's driving me crazy.
Oh, gotta go see it.
There's a hockey game on every night, and I'm like, I'm so into the playoffs for the first time. I'm like, every game is so freaking good.
Right.
And I just can't help myself. I've been, you know, cook dinner, watch. Plus, I can't drive after 5:30, 6.
No, of course not. 5:30, fucking 2:30.
Well, cocktail hours.
11:30. Rusty. Here's the issue with the PGA, and then we'll leave this.
Okay.
And it always has
you
been.
You know more than me about golf, so.
Well, it doesn't get a lot of press, but it's true that everyone's heard of the 80-20 rule, that you know, 80% of the guys or 20% of the guys make 80% of the cash.
Right.
And that's the case on the PGA Tour. So one of the problems is where this thing is going to have legs is the top 125 are the guys who qualify next year for the tour. That 125th guy is going, you're fucking killing me here. I made 80,000.
Yeah.
And I got to pay all my expenses. Or right. I made three. I don't know what top 125 is. It might be close to a million bucks. I don't know. But that's the issue, right? These guys are going, you know, the Dustin Johnsons and Rahm and all these guys they're really, really good. But there's got to be a better balance because we don't have contracts.
Right.
You know, there's got to be a bigger distribution of prize
and maybe
money.
This is going to help. Maybe this is what's going to help the PGA is they finally recognize that they got
to pay deeper.
They got to take better care of their players.
And, the pedestrian guys. Yeah, you got to look after
them. Yeah, because
Rusty, Wayne Gretzky last night. I'll tell you what, Stevie's on fire, our fact department.
Wayne's a friend of mine. What would you like to know?
Oh, fuck off. Wayne Gretzky last night says, the closest guy we've ever seen to Cale Makar, the unbelievable defenseman, is Bobby Orr.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What about Paul Coffey?
And say hi to Jerome. Oh, fuck yeah. Well, no, he said Bobby Orr. That's his quote. Koff was there last night. I could hear him right now. He'd wait. They'd be having a beer somewhere in the bar, and then he'd go like this. Hey, 99. 99. Seriously, pal?
Yeah.
Seriously, pal?
About number 7.
You know how funny Koff was, right? Without me, Gretz, you're fucking nowhere. You're nowhere.
Oh, God. Koff is.
Anyway, watch him. If you haven't seen him play, watch next series, man. He's unbelievable. Rusty, that's a wrap. That's a wrap on the show.
All right. Wish me luck in the member guest. I don't know my guest.
Who's your guest?
It's a guy from Alberta. He's a friend of
I know who it is.
Dwayne Sokalski, and he his Dwayne's nickname is Poodle, and Poodle Important. Listens to our show, and he's bringing two buddies down.
Uh-oh.
Mike Bowie and Peter Brimacom.
There you go. Shoutouts. We're doing shoutouts.
So I'm playing with one of those two knuckleheads.
Yep.
So I'll let you guys know how I do. It's they're coming. They're fired up.
This will be a little fuck.
Typical
me,
Canadians. They're like,
can you
golf
will you to be able to hang with them?
Well, I don't know. I know nothing about Poodle. Doesn't drink, so at least we got a designated driver.
There you go.
But we pull. So the tournament is practice round Thursday and your first 9-hole match. Then Friday, 2 9-hole matches. Saturday, 2 9-hole matches, and then the
finals.
You know, the horse race or whatever for the finals or chip off or whatever.
That's
it is.
A deep but member guest. Holy God.
60 teams. And so 10, there's 10 flights of 6 teams. And I have no idea how this guy plays. And
what's a guest got to be like 1500? Something like that?
It's $2,000.
$2,000. Yeah. To bring a guest. Yeah. That makes sense. That's right up there with mine. $185. Bring a guest. Mike. Good luck, Rusty. Go get him, pal. Long and straight. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Suspendables at yahoo.com is where you can find all our shows. And that's the website, suspendables.com. That should be good enough, isn't it?
No, you won't get there. Thesuspendables.com.
Oh,
yeah.
Thesuspendables.com. Yeah,
I got knocked out of him in the car accident.
Unfair. Oh, God, there's another policeman at my door. I'll talk to you later, everyone. Have a good week.
Thanks for listening to The Suspendables. If you're enjoying the show, we invite you to subscribe so you never miss a single episode, leave a positive review, and share the show with your followers. And check out our brand new website, thesuspendables.com.